Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. My name is Keith Willard. I'm the host and creator of the show, as well as an event planner here in South Florida. Today, we're going to be talking about equality in marketing, specifically to the LGBTQ+ community, because is it possible that we're discriminating without even knowing it? And are we coming across authentically in our advertising and our marketing? Well, we're going to be talking about all of that and much more with a fabulous guest. Her name is Brittany Dripe, but I'll introduce her shortly. But first, let me introduce our Behind the Veil crew. First is Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Welcome back, Marcy.
Hello.
Yay. And then, of course, the always beautiful and always right on time, Brooke Logan Stoner.
Hello, hello, hello. I love your adjective.
I know, right? I had to work it in. All right. Well, let's introduce Brittany Dry. She is the founder and editor-in-chief of Love, Inc., the leading equality-minded wedding blog and print publication. Her inclusive efforts have been celebrated by the New York Times, Forbes, The Advocate, Out Magazine, Refinery 29, New York Daily News, Cosmopolitan, and more. She is the founding editor of the Isle Society and a member of the 2018-19 North American Advisory Board for the International Academy of Wedding and Events and a 2019 Not Pro Educator. Oh my God, Brittany, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Oh my God. Now that is a resume.
I was like that.
Right?
Thank you.
That is a resume. So, I want to start out, like, tell me a little bit about you and the company. What is Love, Inc.?
So I started Love, Inc. back in 2013 when I realized just how heteronormative the wedding industry was. I've always been in the editorial space, and at the time I had a few freelance clients within the wedding world. And I just realized, like, all the media, all the marketing was targeting a bride marrying a groom.
Right.
Or there's amazing resources out there for LGBTQ+, but it was specifically tailored for LGBTQ+. And I was like, why is, you know, for me, like, it's not a gay wedding, it's just a wedding.
Right.
Why is no one being just not making it a thing, just putting it together completely inclusive?
Right.
So I saw this void in the industry, and as a hetero ally, I wanted to do something about it. And I was like, everyone can be inspired by anybody's love and anybody's wedding design. And, you know, I want to tell love stories of everybody. So
right.
I started Love, Inc. in 2013. That was kind of the driving force.
2013. So was this about the same time that gay weddings and you know, were legalized? Or
not
had
yet.
It been,
yeah. Only yet. In a few states, but not yet nationally.
So you were cutting edge. Let's just say that.
So, I mean,
seriously.
No one was being, you know, kind of going at it at weddings with that scope.
Right.
So definitely, like, Love, Inc. was kind of the first to do so. And yeah, I mean, I was hoping I'd be a moot point by now, you know, that
yeah.
we wouldn't still be in this battle. But unfortunately, that's not the case. May have marriage equality, but the marketing, people are still marketing to in cisgender hetero terms.
Right.
And, society in general, of course, you know, so, I'm still, you know, fighting the good fight and creating content and sharing love stories. And, I have the blog and then a publication,
yeah.
a print publication, and then a podcast, which I will admit the podcast has been a bit on the back burner because of COVID.
I totally started it, and then
the pandemic hit, and I was like, I can't. Something's got to give.
I'm hoping
to dive back in, like, in the next few months. I'm hoping to dive back in on that.
Right. So before we move on, Brooke, by the way, your mic is doing something weird. Like, you're sounding far off. So you might want to correct that before we move forward. Okay. Just FYI. So Brittany, I have to say, I applaud you because 2013, seriously, cutting edge. And the fact that you're heterosexual and you were like, look, we're not doing enough to be, you know, equality for the LGBTQ community. Did you have, like, a best friend or somebody that was gay or lesbian that you felt like, you know, what caused you to start this cause? Because I know that you saw it, but was there something personal,
story? I have friends in the LGBTQ+ community, but I'm just, you know, for me, it's just human rights. It's just, right. you know, I think it's just, you know, it wasn't a particular someone who was driving me to do it. It was just me seeing this need and seeing the need for change in the wedding space that prompted me to, you know, we need to make effort.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, and of course, 2013, first of all, you don't look old enough to have started something in 2013.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, because you must have been like all of 16 when you started it. But, you know, and obviously, did you get hate mail or any kind of pushback when you started this? Because, again, it was before it was fully legalized in all the states. So did you ever get that?
Yeah, I definitely had. Mostly on Instagram.
Yeah.
People, you know, you post a photo.
Yeah.
And you have, you know.
Oh, the haters. Oh my God. So they're the worst.
Delete. But as far as like emails, I didn't receive anything. You know, everyone was very like, you know, excited to have a resource that was inclusive like this. What's interesting is that even just like in the recent years, I've actually had some pushback from those within the industry.
That's interesting.
Me, you know, doing it as a hetero ally.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not jumping on any bandwagon here. I've been doing this since, you know, 2013. Well, it's, you know, this is genuine, like, effort.
Exactly.
I'm highly involved in LGBTQ plus rights organizations. You know, so.
But I get it. But I get it. Because, you know, I could see why, you know, that. People are like, oh, you're just jumping on the bandwagon because that's kind of in vogue right now. It's on trend. You're just jumping. But, you know, again, you started this in 2013. So there's nothing about being on trend because you were doing it when it wasn't on trend. Yeah. And so I'm assuming that you've seen a big turnaround when it comes to equality and marketing in general. Yeah.
Yes. As I mentioned, you know, we still have a lot of work to do, but in 2013, I think everyone I knew in the industry was saying like bride and groom on their contact forms. And, you know, the education wasn't out there.
Right.
And now there are so many amazing people who educate and speak on these topics. There's so many amazing free online resources that breaks down the language and, you know, kind of shares marketing tips and tools to be inclusive with, you know, with all your marketing messaging across, you know, whether it's your website or your client documents, your social media.
Right.
And that has just, there's been so much awareness raised in the last, I would say, even like 3-4 years.
Right.
And I think it's done a lot of, and for me, like, I think the more people we have speaking on this, the more people we have educating on this topic, the better, because that's what we need in order to move this industry forward and to get it to a place where everyone can, you know, so no one's having to sign their name next to a pronoun that doesn't match them, or, you know, having to mark out groom because that's not what they identify as. So the more that people are speaking on this, the more education's getting out there, the better. Oh, I think Keith might be frozen.
Hello. Okay. Oh, no, no, they may be frozen. I'm gonna while he kind of regroups, I want to find out from you on your website, do you have resources for people to be able to go out and to, you know, move around, or is it a publication only?
So it's a publication. We have a vendor guide for, you know, couples to utilize, you know, for equality-minded vendors. But I will say, like, every single vendor featured on our site, because we feature hetero weddings as well. Every single vendor, though, I have personally emailed and personally confirmed that they are open to working with all couples for their weddings. And I state that specifically for their weddings because I don't know if you're familiar with the Colorado Supreme Court case with the cake.
Yes.
Yeah. So that cake shop, it was like the wedding was like one of the, they were happy to work with the couple for like birthdays and stuff. But the wedding was where they refused service. So I always like, and that's one thing that I, you know, educate, like, or tell wedding pros when you are finding your vendor teams to work with and you want to make sure you are working with someone equality minded, make sure you specifically say for their wedding. Because some pros are like, yeah, I'll take their money for birthdays or for, you know, personal events, but not like wedding. That's against my religion. So I personally like email every single vendor featured before publishing to confirm that they are equality minded. And so, you know, couples, if they see anything on my site, they know that vendor's already been vouched for, because that's one of the biggest concerns for LGBTQ plus people, you know, planning their wedding, is that like, well, is this person gonna refuse me service because of who I am or who I love? So I just wanted to, you know, cut that part out for them so that they can have the at least the inquiry experience be somewhat
stressful. Right. And as far as being in the mix of this now, how do you foresee this, you know, as far as what do you see down the pike for getting this, getting the stigma out that everybody is equal?
I mean, I think, you know, like I said, you know, we have work to do, but I think now wedding pros are becoming more aware of even just like non-binary and making sure that your language is friendly towards that. So DJs using terms instead of ladies and gentlemen use terms like, you know, everybody or hey people or party people, whatever their brand, you know, but something that's gender neutral, you know, non-binary bathrooms or gender neutral bathrooms. Keeping that in mind, I think that's kind of like the next level. People are being more educated on that and more aware of those aspects, because for a long time it was, you know, making sure that it was gender neutral for, you know, gay and lesbian couples. But that's now we're still talking in, you know, genderized terms. Even though it's same sex, it's still genderized terms. So now like, let's dive deeper. Let's become even more inclusive with our efforts.
Okay. And if I actually do invitations, so I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't know if you would, you know, if you would need to think about it, but I'm going to just pose it. So let's say you have a couple and there's no identity as to which is the more dominant or which would be considered, what is it? The alpha male versus female. I don't know what the terminology is, but usually, like on an invitation, you would say, you know, the bride's name would go before the groom's name, but on a that would be on a heterosexual invitation. Whereas with a non-heterosexual, which would be either LGBT or Q or plus, you would say who is considered the more, I guess, female personality persona.
I mean, I feel like we're moving away from that, anyways. No matter. You know, you don't want to ever make assumptions, I think, on someone's relationship dynamics, whether they're LGBTQ plus or hetero. And I think, you know, from an etiquette perspective, like that, you know, is the traditional way of doing so. But I think, you know, it's important to kind of like move more toward where we're not making assumptions of anyone's relationship dynamics or who they are. And my response and my suggestion would be kind of more alphabetized.
Okay. That's
the way that I recommend my readers doing it, for anybody, not necessarily even just LGBTQ plus.
Yeah. That's actually what I was looking at. Cause I've actually been doing some research on it myself. And I'm glad you pointed that out, cause I do see like there is, for non-binary, I think they go by X now. Is that?
That's one. As far as titles, MX is
like instead of saying MS period or MR period, they would just do an X.
MX is usually the kind of Mr. and Mrs. version. It's pronounced mix. But that's, you know, that's people have used different things, but that's the more like, I would say the more popular option.
Okay.
I would just ask because, like, the safest thing for me being, you know, trans and who I am, like, my name's Brooke. Call me that. How about that? And just You know, granted, with invitations, Marcy, I get it totally. With what you know, I would just like ask them, but to me, I'm like, hey, listen, just come, bro. That's it. We're good. You know what I mean?
And
like,
I think
you can't go wrong with that. I mean, obviously, I would be like, do you mind if your name's Jeremy? Do you mind if I call you Jeremy? And then that's how I would start the talk the situation, just for to establish that relationship for that comfortability, because then you don't want to obviously, you know, make someone feel uncomfortable. So, first thing, you know, I always ask them, but you know, because I've been asked, you know, I'm like, hey, just call me Brooke. So, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't need a label. My name's Brooke, and well, society already labels me, so my name is Brooke. You call me that. That's how I roll with it.
I love
but
that.
But I'm and not everybody.
I usually just say to them, you know, okay, who would like to be first on the invitation? It's just
and
the
I think,
easiest way to go
you know,
about it.
Couples want to, you know, have that guest experience where it is very tailored to them and not just kind of running this formula that weddings have always run just for the sake of that's the formula that weddings use. So I think it's, you know, whomever it is, like, you know, do how do you want to be called on the invitation is a great question for couples to ask their guest. And, you know, it's a little bit of effort, but I think in order to have that guest experience that couples are really, really wanting right now, having that custom guest experience, that's kind of the first step in it. You know, like when they get this invitation in the mail and it is addressed exactly to them how they want to be addressed.
Right. And also like on the place cards and things like that.
Yes.
You know, we always want to make sure that we're doing the right thing by our couples. And so I just wanted to make sure that people that were listening today would understand that, you know, the whole dynamic has changed. And that is why we need to kind of be observant of, you know, the times are changing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sorry about that, guys.
Can be, you know, thrown aside. Like, not all traditions have standing power.
Sorry about that. You know, welcome to live shows. complete total meltdown on my side. But, you know. That's why we have Marcy and Brooke, because
I would have been holding down the fort all by myself, and that would have been awkward.
Oh my goodness! Well, like that's what I was saying earlier when we before we went on. I'm like, relax, because you just never know what's going to happen. Just roll with it. So it's all good. One of the questions that I wanted to ask you is about internal, because obviously being a hetero supporter, you said something before. You said a phrase that I was like, oh, you hetero sound like ally. A super hetero ally. I feel like that's a superhero comment. Right? It does. It feels very superhero. But have you noticed that our own community, so the GLBTQ community, have you seen that there is discrimination even amongst our own ranks? Because this is something that Brooke and I have had long conversations about, you know, being either gay or trans or even bisexual. Even our bisexual community is really, I feel like, discriminated against on multiple levels, not just from the hetero community, but even from the GLBTQ community. You know, have you seen that maybe that they're not as equal, or they feel that because they're already part of the community, they don't have to make the same effort as the hetero community?
So, you know, and I don't want to step on any toes because I'm not
right.
part of the community.
Right. I'm just saying from an outsider's point of view, meaning
definitely
I mean,
from
you've
an
been
outsider's
this,
perspective yeah. and just talking with friends, who are a part of the community, whether, you know, bisexual or transgender.
Right.
Definitely.
I right?
definitely see divisiveness there. You know, there's definitely this, you know, for bisexuals, it's like if you are married a hetero person or in
right.
a hetero relationship, you're kind of just, I don't know,
yeah.
not part of the community anymore.
Right.
Transgender,
like
that's
a
whole
effect?
Other, huh?
Is it like a shunning effect?
It's just
yeah.
kind of like this, yeah, it's like a just, what's the word I'm thinking of?
No,
like
I
canceled
I
out. Like they're just
right.
like, it's like canceled out. And
yeah, because all of a sudden, because they married heterosexually, they're now no longer seen. They're no longer seen as part of the community at large, which kind of drives me a little crazy because I feel like and one of the things I was really excited about you having being on the show is that I wanted to make sure that I wasn't discriminating because, you know, I forget that there are new norms supposedly out there. I mean, is homophobia actually is self-hate. I mean, if you look up the actual definition, it talks about self-hate. And so, you know, I worry that maybe that my own pre-existing thought patterns may come into play when I'm planning other couples events. Right. Because like I said, I've been with my husband we've been together 17 years. We've been married four. Mm. And I could not even believe that I was going to be able to get to marry, because it was never in my thought process ever in my whole life. Did I ever think, oh, I'm going to get to be married and I'm going to have a husband. I never had that in my head. And so now when I'm trying to do advertising or marketing for other people, I have to get over my own roadblocks about that and say, it's fine to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get the pushback and that I would have gotten earlier in my life. You know, I'm not going to get the same hazing that I got as I grew up. Like, in other words, if I put out a GLBTQ advertisement, I'm not going to get the hate mail that I may have gotten back in 2013.
Right.
Right. I mean, do you see that? And, do you feel like, you know, maybe that a secondary eye or a third eye, you know, on your advertising campaigns would be good for people?
Absolutely. Because, you know, I think even with the best intentions, sometimes you still make assumptions. So if you look at a hetero couple, seemingly hetero couple, they may be bisexual, they may be pansexual. You don't know. And so you go back to your hetero assumptions, though, and that hetero language without thinking this may not apply to them. They may not identify as that. And so I think coming at it like, you know, just never assume, never, you know, coming at any couple, no matter what, never make assumptions, because I have like questionnaires that I send out to all the couples who are featured. Right. For their weddings, and from a lot of like my bisexual and pan readers, that's what, you know, there's like a, what was some of your challenges during wedding planning process? And that's one of the things that they kept saying, like, well, they just assumed we were hetero because we are cisgender man and woman. And so they are just things that people would say,
right.
Not necessarily like derogatory toward the community, but just,
but you know, people forget. They get into this comfort zone and they start talking to, and it may be a cisgendered couple, and they get so awkward about how they're responding that they start saying stupid stuff. And I feel like that, I think that one of the messages that we need to get out today, it is okay to be awkward and to say, am I saying this right? Absolutely. Am I making sure? Right. Am I honoring you as a couple and what I am saying? Because please correct me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
Because, you just can't make assumptions. And I always think that, you know, that's something that you put in your contact information. You know, how do you identify so that, you know, leave it open-ended, ask open-ended questions so that they can tell you, you know, what are your pronouns? Because we're, you know, the generation Gen Z coming up. I was reading a recent study, Gallup poll that just came out. 1 in 6 are LGBTQ+, identify within the LGBTQ+ community.
Right.
And that's a huge percentage. So if people are not, you know, keeping their marketing open and their inquiry forms inclusive, they're going to turn a lot of people off, and they're doing a disservice to any potential clients asking those questions. And it may be uncomfortable, but that's okay. That shows you're growing.
So would you suggest that somebody does a questionnaire, like as soon as people show up? Is it appropriate to say, you know, can you fill out some information so that I'm approaching this correctly?
Absolutely. I think, we're not entitled to hear everybody's story or background.
Right.
And we've got to respect that as professionals. But also we want to make sure they have the opportunity to communicate any specifics, like if they do identify by any specific titles,
right,
we want to honor that. Any specific pronouns, we want to honor that. And so I think, you know, whether it's in the contact form or the initial questionnaire, you want to make sure that you have all that information so that you can do it the right way.
Right. Well, and, you know, because love is love. I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, it's a catchphrase. Everybody says it. Love is love. But, you know, I and one of the things that I'm hearing in the community just in general, and I'm not putting any specific community. It's just in general, when I hear conversations, you know, being somebody that's in their 50s, you know, I hear people say, oh, this whole pronoun thing, it's so millennial. Oh my God, can they just get over it? What, who's them and they, right? What do you say to those people when they give you kind of that pushback? Like, oh, this is just a millennial thing. This is just some new age BS.
Fuck off.
I am now the A plus angel on the show. Thank you so much.
Like, it's
like, you know?
Right.
See, Keith, it gets better.
You said I can. You said I can curse, right?
No, I
feel like that's the only appropriate response.
It's appropriate. I feel like it's appropriate because sometimes you do have to tell people to F off.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, put them back in their place. I feel like we've gotten so PC in our normal world that nobody feels like it's appropriate to say anything. And I feel like if you don't say anything, you're adding to the problem.
Yeah.
If you don't stand up for people, you're adding to the problem. Because you're not saying anything doesn't mean that you didn't do anything. You've made it worse because
you're complicit
in that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a win for you. So you started this company in 2013. What was a major win when you realized I'm actually making a difference? Like, was there a moment that, like, maybe it was like a Hyatt or a major company that reached out to you? You know, what was a moment that you went, yeah, I'm doing something that makes a difference?
I mean, emails from readers are still like just my favorite thing ever, from my first email that I ever received from a reader to last week. You know, it never gets old, and I never, or DMs, Instagram DMs.
Yeah, yeah.
That fuels me. That is why I'm doing what I do, is just readers saying like, thank you for creating this resource. I was not seeing myself or my love in any wedding websites or blogs. And I came, usually it's like Instagram. I came because that's how they're planning these days. You know, right. I came to your Instagram and I feel seen. To me, that is like, that's why I do what I do. I've definitely had a lot of like, you know, more professional wins over the years. But that is kind of what I'm most proud of, is producing content and a resource for couples who can come in and just plan their wedding and not have it be an issue,
yeah.
On Love Inc. It's not like a gay wedding. It's just wedding content.
It's just a wedding.
Anyone can you see themselves in.
Can I have the labels?
Yeah.
No labels. Yeah.
No labels. By the way, Maribelis Armuse said, I love this comment. She said, and this is Brooke, well, I don't need a label. Just call me Brooke. That's awesome. Thank you, Maribelis. Look, Brooke, see, like, I love that.
Little pretty and a little smart.
But can hetero people go use Love Inc.?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We feature hetero weddings. It's just all together. It's not, you know.
Right. So, you know, but because
we don't have like the token gay wedding go up, you know.
Right.
Once a month. And yeah, it's completely just.
Is there such thing as a token hetero wedding?
I mean, on a lot of publications, they're definitely less right. So now. I feel most publications at this point are making effort to diversify their content.
Right.
And this is for any marginalized community. But when Loving first started, absolutely. They were just like, see, We do gay weddings. Here's our one from the month of June.
Right. Oh my God. Well, you know, because
it's a whole other, you know,
oh my
tokenizing.
God.
That's a whole other conversation.
That actually is a very good point. I remember when, you know, gay marriage became legal, and you know, I was working for the hotels at the time, and I remember getting instructions from our management. It's like, find a gay wedding. You know, we need a gay wedding. We need a gay wedding. And so I'm not going to talk about the hotel chain, obviously, but it just made me laugh because you know, right? No. But it made me laugh because, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we need a gay wedding because we want to make sure we advertise it and market it. And I feel like that was even worse than.
Oh, it's disingenuous. Yeah.
It's,
you know, I always say if you're marketing it to make yourself look good, you're doing it wrong. To be truly quality minded, it has to be in every facet of your business. You know, not just throwing up a picture every once in a while of a same sex couple and calling it a day. You should be, you know, in all the language that you use, the way you train your staff, every touch point of that client experience and the way that the brand is managed has to have that effort behind it.
Right.
You can't just, it's not a one and done thing. It's just like, it's your being, it's who you are. It's what the brand represents. You should be giving back to the community, you know, and whether it's financial, or, you know, with, you know, services, I always, you know, recommend to wedding pros, if you're able to, do one pro bono event a year, you know, for a cause that is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's a great opportunity to work with, you know, a local Pride Center or LGBTQ+ resource to, you know, help them do their annual gala or photograph an event. Because these, you know, they're run by volunteers. And, you know, how many like photographers do you think do they have in their like volunteer wheelhouses or planners or stationers or floral designers? Probably not a ton. So like, you know, sometimes even like just service donations go even further than what financial can do.
Well, and I think that's important because, you know, you should do those things without expecting to get publicity out of it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's the underlying thing here is that if you're going to come across authentically, don't do it because you feel like you're going to get publicity. The publicity will happen naturally if you're authentic about it.
I have some integrity too. You know what I mean? Yes. Like that's it starts there. I have integrity. It starts there for me.
Well, and then the thing, and then there's also a thing that comes with gay and lesbian weddings that I've noticed is that catering salespeople and you know, God bless us all, because like I said, I used to be in that world and sales. You know, when I saw a gay couple and as a gay man, I would think, oh, great, dink, a dual income, no kids couple, meaning their budget's going to be bigger. Mm-hmm. They're going to have more money. They're going to be more fabulous. They're going to do things over the top. And that's not the case.
No. I mean, that's a big assumption, though. That is a very big assumption because I've heard wedding pros just be like, oh, my gosh, I want to do a gay wedding. Like they have the biggest budget. It's so over the top. And I'm like,
right.
Not all the time.
A, it's like, it's inappropriate. B, you're making assumptions. C, not true whatsoever.
No.
Look on my website. There's plenty of DIY rustic weddings for, you know, in the community hetero. Like, no, that's not the case. And that is a very, very, very common assumption though, for sure.
Well, and I think that's a part of the equality marketing is mm-hmm. don't assume that your gay and lesbian or bisexual or transgendered couples have more money because they don't have kids, because it's a different world. And you know, I have actually done several same-sex weddings where we were on a very tight budget, super tight budget. And so, you know, because I'm in the community, I know better. But, you know, people that are outside the community that may not have a GLBTQ friend or association, you know, they're listening to this kind of rumor mill,
right?
You know, this kind of background noise.
And you have, you know, TV shows and movies kind of you know, feeling that. I mean, like think of like Sex in the City, like what is it?
Right?
Movie two with
oh my god.
And the two girls we're all got sitting married around, and it was just like and they're just like fueling that rhetoric. And so, you know, it's
because we're all sitting around drinking Cosmopolitans and we all make $250,000 a year and we all live super fabulous lives and we all love Gucci.
Right.
You know, I
really, it's just White Claw.
But, you know, I mean, and people who know me know that I am not a label queen, so to speak, at all. Like, I hate dressing up. Like, it drives me crazy. I mean,
you dressed up for us.
He looks very handsome and dapper. He was just at the house dropping off my new progressive bifocals, if you will, for me. And I was like, oh, snapping.
Yeah. No, I was dropping off her glasses. She needs them for her driving test tomorrow. So,
Well, the eye test. It's not the driving test.
Oh, okay. But again, so when we talk about equality marketing, what are some basic touch points that every company should start with when they're starting their marketing campaign?
So first off, language for sure. You know, you really want to go through the steps that potential clients are going through, contact form, any auto response emails that get sent out when that contact form gets put in, any documentation, any contracts, your website copy, your social media copy. Just really go through any marketing materials, really go through all of that with a fine tooth comb to just get, you know, do a deep audit and make sure that you're using inclusive language. That is like first and foremost, as well as never assume. Like language and never assume are like the two big takeaways that, you know, to start with.
Right. And then is it always appropriate to use they and them? I mean, because honestly, marketing, you got to market towards at least a particular group, and not all advertising is meant to be for the general population. So, you know, sometimes you have to market towards a specific group or organization because you want those dollars, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's business. You know, you gotta have some reality in there. So, you know, does it have to always be him and her and them and they? Like, do we always have to be appropriate in our language?
I think it's always important to be gender neutral.
Interesting.
So whether it's, you know, they, them, or like the couple or partners, or I use the term soonly weds a lot in my content as a gender neutral term, nearly weds. I think it's really important to always be inclusive with your language. I mean, I definitely, you know, I see your point where it's like you're marketing to a specific group of people, but you know, the younger audiences, like, you know, younger millennials, Gen Z, like that is important to them. So even those who do identify as cis, they're going to want to see that language because they want to work with vendors who are not only talented, but also, you know, are aware of inclusive efforts and their values align with their own. This is just a very important element to that younger audience who are, you know, are now moving into, if they're not already into the marriage age.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, making sure that people still feel loved and included, because there's such joy that comes with planning a wedding. And there's nothing worse than a couple going in and feeling ostracized because of their love. I mean, I don't understand how that ever was a thing. I don't understand like why it took us so long to get to this place. But I think that, you know, moving forward, I feel like if anybody's listening and they're like, oh, I don't know if I feel comfortable, I think that, you know, you should focus on the fact that people actually are in love and not against each other, that there's actually joy and happiness in the world, and maybe focus on that versus, you know, the fact that one's maybe transgendered and one's, you know, male. I mean, you just don't know. And I think that honoring people and allowing them to be loved and have love is the focal point.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know, and you don't know how to Google anything or ask a question and be compassionate, then just let people love one another and don't worry about the labels. You know what I'm saying? That's the big picture. But then you also have to either educate yourself, ask questions, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's different. And we've had clients we've turned down. It's because that wasn't a good fit for us. It had nothing to do with gender or anything else. Personalities clicked, or it just wasn't something that was good. It had nothing to do with any label of any kind.
Right.
Well, if you're a shitty person, you're a shitty person.
Period. Exactly. Well, and actually, you know, Brooke wants to ask me, she's like, you know, would you take on a client that didn't want
me? This was going to happen.
Oh, you did, right? That didn't want me to be at the wedding. And I said, absolutely not. Yeah. I would not take a client that would ever say that they wouldn't want Brooke there because she's transgender. That's not fair. And
we were coming home from our last, before COVID, it was the Oceanic, the photo shoot. And I don't know, it had been in my mind for quite some time because we had been working together for over about a year and a half at that point. And I'm like, you know?
He's like, will he really stand by his word when it comes to...
That's never happened. So I asked the question because in the back of my mind, I'm like, what would he do?
Well, and I would turn it down. And I think that's actually the really important part for people, that they need to stand up. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, is that you need to stand up and you need to be, you know, you can't be complicit. Right. You have to say some things.
And that, you know, going off of that, like, what does your vendor team look like? You should be asking those. If you are equality minded wedding pro, you should be asking that to any professional you work with, to the stationers you work with, to the caterers, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, especially like from a planner perspective, who is curating the vendor list, that you make that effort to work with equality minded vendors, because, you know, just A, you want to lift up wedding pros who are inclusive, but, you know, you also have that communication and you have, you know, if and when a situation ever comes up,
right,
your couple isn't going to be stuck in the middle of it. You know, okay, well, that, you know, stationer or that floral designer
is
not inclusive. I'm not going to.
Yeah. I'm not going to give them my business. No, I'm not going to give them my business. If I don't feel like. Yeah, right?
At that point, you have a problem with people loving one another, no matter what. And then that's just, that comes to integrity and a decent person and your character.
Well, and I think that I'm hoping that there will be a time that we don't have to have this conversation, that we've gotten to a point that, well, of course, everybody's included. Why wouldn't they? Because love is everything. But I think as planners and people in the industry, I think it's important that we stand up and we say, no, I'm not going to use somebody that's not going to be inclusive, because we got to move our world, our hospitality industry has got to get to a point that we don't have to think about marketing to the LGBTQ+ community, because it just is.
It just is. And like I said, I was hoping right now, like, my whole mission would be a moot point and I would just be like your everyday wedding publication. But that's not the case. And I think, like, I'm in New York, so, like, you know, we're in a very progressive bubble here. As I mentioned before, I reach out to every vendor before featuring them on Love Inc. To confirm their equality mindedness.
Right.
And I'm like, those in New York, California, you know,
they're probably going to say yes.
The assumption is like, why are you even asking me that? Like, why is this still a thing that you have to ask? Like, of course I am. Like, why wouldn't I be?
Right.
So it's easy to think, like, you know, those of us in these bubbles, like, yeah, of course, but there is a big, big space in the middle.
There's
a lot
of space between the East and West Coast.
It's not. And honestly, though, you know, I've had vendors in San Francisco. I've had vendors in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon, actually, I've received a lot of responses back from vendors in Portland, Oregon, which you think is like hipster central,
right.
who are not willing to work with LGBTQ+ couples for their wedding.
So you have to
ask those questions. Like, even if you think you know the answer,
yeah,
you should still ask those questions, because you don't want, A, you don't want your couples to have to ask those questions.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you're working with people who align with your values, as you know, and aligning your brand with other people who who lift that up.
Well, and again, you know, when we talk about, you know, when we talked about this marketing and the fact that I find it, first of all, I find it fascinating that people actually responded with the saying, no, yeah, I won't.
That, I mean, they're
blows
like,
my mind.
Yeah. I promise you, my money's just as spendable. The $100 bill looks the same as Marcy's, as Keith, and as Brittany's. I promise you.
Oh,
unless exactly. Y'all got a basement, I don't know about what you're doing. Some other stuff. Call me. Right. I know how to make origami, so you know what I'm saying.
It's in tunnel.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, guys, that is our time for this particular subject. Brittany, it was a joy to have you on. I hope that you get to stay with us because we're going to do after the mail, right? Because then we're going to just get to talk and have some fun. So, but first, let's hear a little word from our sponsor. Let's see, who is it? I was like, who is it today?
Oh, Ava. Wonder if our guests would be here on time.
If we had a custom wedding website.
With our ceremony details on it.
And I, Taylor, would pick Zola to have and to host our wedding website.
Ours even matched our Zola invites. The whole thing was so freaking easy.
Do you think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
We do.
I do.
We've helped a million couples plan their weddings with free websites, registry, and invitations. Get started for free at Zola.com.
Oh my God, that was super appropriate.
I know. I was like, did you plan that?
I mean, like, I totally
all the random ones, right?
I was like, oh my God.
They're listening. They're listening to this conversation.
I was like, that's so appropriate. Well, welcome to After the Veil. This is just our time to just talk about what's going on in the world, what's happening in our world, and you know, just kind of bragging a little bit on ourselves and then talking about the things that we've been involved in. So First of all, a couple of weeks ago, we did an event called Love is in the Air. It was our first wedding showcase that we've been able to do. And we did it on the top floor of a parking garage. So we had 30,000 square feet of open air space.
Wow.
Just to make sure that we were super COVID, you know, safe, that we made sure that we had plenty of space between vendors. We had over 300 people come to the event.
Gosh. Wow.
But you know, when you do it over 5 hours and you have it over 30,000 square feet, it doesn't look like that many people. I mean, when you have 70 people on an hour over 30,000 square feet, it really looks like there's nobody there. I mean, there's a point that I was like, oh my goodness, did we do this well? Did we do this right? Did we get enough people come into it? And then we had to go back and look at the statistics and went, holy crap, we had a lot of people come through the door.
That's great. I mean, it means that you're doing it right, though. If it's, you know, it's spread out enough where it's like, oh, it doesn't look like it's filled. Well, if it's filled, then you're probably not.
Well, are you talking about love is in the air?
Yeah, love is in the air. You know, it was
in a ballroom, a much smaller room.
Yeah, it was, but you know, it was just such a fun day. It was so hot, first of all, so hot. Oh my God.
I'm still shedding.
Because, you know, it was.
But I'm wearing long sleeves.
Oh my goodness. And I got heat stroke in a big way, but because of South Florida, we thought winter, hey, it's February. No, it was like 85 degrees or something stupid.
It was still a beautiful day.
It was a gorgeous
like 20
day.
20 here.
Well, it made me laugh because I actually asked my husband to do the vow renewal because that was kind of my surprise to him. I'm like, oh, let's do this vow renewal. Let's, you know.
Oh, and you guys did a vow renewal?
Yeah. So because it was part of the event.
Awesome.
We had like a mass vow renewal. So we had like 12 couples all, you know, doing their vow renewal. It was funny because Jake and I were the only gay couple, so to speak, doing our vow renewal. And so when I was looking through the photos, it made me laugh because I was thinking about this particular segment and thinking, oh my God, there are so many photos of us that I almost feel like the hetero couples got jit.
Yeah.
Because everybody's taking photos of us. They're like, oh, get the gay couple. And I'm like, yeah. I organized the damn thing. You don't have to take my photo. Please go away.
No, please. I've recorded the whole thing.
Right? But it was just so much fun. Oh, my God. It was so much fun. So, Brittany, what is one thing that has happened in the last week or 2 weeks that you just really wanted to be able to brag about and is a real win for you?
I don't know if this is, like, worth bragging, but I have a three-year-old, and then I have six-month-old twins.
Oh, my God. God bless you.
So this past year has been chaotic to say the least. And we just started like all three kids in daycare about a week and a half ago. And so for the first time in almost a year, I've like been able to do a full work day.
Right.
And look at the smile on her face.
Oh my God, it's been glorious.
Like, I get to work. But that means you gave birth during COVID. Like, the height of COVID.
It was rough. Yeah. I mean, luckily it was in August. So, yeah. Like, my partner was able to be there. But I mean, it hasn't, you know, like, just support wise, like, especially like postpartum, like, I haven't, like, my parents haven't met the babies yet. And I haven't been able to, like, you know, friends usually would like come by and like baby while you shower. And like, we haven't been able to, like, I haven't had any of that support. So it's,
so you haven't been able to shower for 6 months.
Nope. I showered today.
You're like, oh, do I have any spittle on me? You know,
so it's one of those. Yeah. Like, so that's been challenging. So like, yeah. So, I mean, I know it's like probably not like, you know, win-win, like professional win, but like for me, just to even be able to like get on the computer and have a full like 9 to 4:30 work day is just, it's like a huge win. And it feels, because I'm so like tied to my work. Like, I know you're not supposed to say this, but like my work is who I am. Like,
no, it is.
I'm not wired to be a stay-at-home parent. Like, I'm not wired for that. And I'm just, my identity is my work. So like not having that, or like being able to like, or only having like a couple of hours here or there to get work done has been just,
it's hard
mental health wise, like not good. So.
Well, because, and of course COVID added a whole new stress to it, because now we're stuck in our little
cave. There's no like outlet. There's no, I can't grab coffee with my girlfriends or,
You know,
a beer or whatever. Yeah.
So. Right. I saved a ton of money on lipstick, though. I'm just saying.
Makeup, hair products.
So, I still got to do all that. I just don't have to do the mouth.
Oh, my God. So, by the way, so Maribella, I'm going to bring up Maribella again, because she said, what a beautiful idea. How about like a TED Talk for the LGBTQ community for Pride Month? She said she'd be happy to coordinate it. Look at that.
Love that.
Oh, right. Wow. I love that. So Maribella, absolutely reach out and connect. And if you're able to help Brittany do a TED Talk, that'd be a freaking amazing, wouldn't it?
Talk about career goals.
Right. But you know, everybody talks about TED Talk, and I'm going totally off a tangent, but I don't really understand the whole concept behind TED Talk. I've watched a few of them. I find them interesting, but aren't they just a lecture? Isn't that just all it is?
I think so, but I think the level of people they bring on is like top notch, you know?
Right.
So I think you're just, I think it's, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a lecture, education.
What would you
talk about? Like a one-day conference on steroids kind of thing?
Yeah. Right,
well, and actually, I think it's like a one-day conference squeezed into like 2 hours.
And then they do the TEDx talks, which I think is like a lower tier. But I mean, obviously, like the people are still like stellar. But
I love that lower tier. You didn't make it quite to TED Talk level, but here's your lower one.
But it's still, I mean, that it's still like I.
So we're gonna work on
one.
That.
You know, I would love to do one.
Would you do it on LGBTQ stuff? Would it be on this, or do you have something else that you really love to do? I mean, I'm sure your life is just basically consumed with the idea of Love, Inc. and LGBTQ, but is there something else, another dream or something else that you has been a passion project of yours?
Not real. This has been like my life, my passion, which I'm, you know, realized like just even saying like how lucky I am to be able to like say that.
Right.
That, you know, I'm kind of doing what I love like that much. I speak on other topics. Like I speak on, you know, like submitting to, you know, wedding publications. I speak on, I'm actually doing a couple of like podcasts and speaking to the Boston ILEA group on like COVID weddings and what weddings look like and how couples are planning their wedding post COVID and, you know.
Oh, so you're in Boston. You Renee Sabo's over there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's virtual.
I love her, by the way. She's a favorite of the show, FYI. She was, I absolutely,
yeah, yeah, don't tell Brooke.
I absolutely adore her. But, you know, so you're doing these other things. I love the idea that you're talking about publications for submitting to publications, because a lot of people just don't know how to do that. I mean, we were talking before the show about success with Help a Reporter Out, and, you know, and I find that these free resources as a business owner, oh my God, I wish I had known about this 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like I missed out on three freaking years of getting PR out there that was free.
Well, you're making up for it real quick, Keith.
Oh, I mean, still, you know, there's so many companies, people out there that just, they don't know what to do. They're used to the old idea of marketing, you know, print something up. It has to go in a magazine. You know, The Knot, The Wedding Wire, brides.com. I got to do an ad on there. And I feel like that's not effective publicity or marketing. Well, what did Megan say about the difference between
one, you pay for one and you
earn right. and own
the awards of the
Oh, yeah. That's right. You pay, it's marketing if you pay somebody to talk about you nicely. It's PR if somebody talks about you nicely. Organically for free. So I love that definition. It made it so super clear about the difference between public relations and marketing.
Yeah.
There's a need
for both. Like it's, you know, and one of the things like, I'll do like me and some other like wedding blogger friends do like a Clubhouse chat every Thursday, and we talk on like marketing in the wedding space. And that's like one of the things that I feel like wedding pros just don't get that aspect. It's like there's pillars to it, and you got to like kind of do a little bit of everything, see what works for your brand. Cause there's no formula that's going to fit every single person, every single company.
Oh my God. And it's so much. It is so freaking much. I mean, you know, I was telling Brooke before this, I'm like, I make it easy for you guys because I do, you know, I do all the ads and I do all the publications and I do the software and I make it easy for these guys to just link, you know, click and link up. But it is so much work because then there's Instagram and social media and advertising and marketing. I mean, it is almost too much for one person to do.
I mean, it truly is. That's, you know, like that's why the bigger companies have people specifically for those roles. Cause it's like,
because I got tired of doing
it. But you know, as solopreneurs, like, you know, we're forced to, and it's really hard. I get that.
Well, and you started Love Inc. in 2013, right? And so did your family think you were crazy? FYI, did they think, what the hell? What, like
they definitely were supportive of me, and I don't think that they, you know, not being in the wedding industry, like you probably don't realize like how, you know, gendered it is.
Right.
And I think like, especially back then, it was just, that's how it was. And no one really challenged it. Like I'm from Tennessee originally. So it's like, especially there.
Right. But did your mom say, how the hell are you going to make money from this?
No, she never said that.
Did she imply it? Did she say, oh my God, how are you going to make money from this? You know,
a long time ago when I jetted off to New York City, not knowing anyone and not having a job, that I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what. So
it takes a special personality to do that, honestly.
She had confidence in me.
Madonna did it, yeah, and look at her. But when did you fly off to New York? How old were you?
I was 22.
Okay, so you weren't like 18, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed,
no, right after college.
Okay, so you got your degree first, and then you're like, oh, let's go to New York. But you didn't know anybody, and you didn't have a job, or you did?
Did not know anybody. I had never even been to the city before, and didn't have a job.
Oh my God, shocking.
That's a shock.
It's one of those things that, like, when you're young, like, you just do these things.
Right.
And I'm, like, very much a planner. So this was, like, very against my usual
stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I worked in print publications back then because that's, you know, this was, like, circa 2006.
Right.
2007. So, you know, online digital media wasn't really a thing yet.
Right.
It was kind of, like, just starting to come up. And so I worked – you know, hit the ground running with like a little resume and like informational interviews. And those eventually turned into regular interviews and eventually like landed a job at a magazine,
Emily?
Print publication. Huh?
Emily, she means you.
Well, okay. So what was your very first impression of New York City? So because I remember the very first time I stepped off the bus, because you had to take the bus from the airport into the city. Mm-hmm. And my very first impression getting off the bus is it smells like pee and it's dirty.
Wow.
What year was this?
Oh my God. I'm not going to date myself, but probably 92, 93.
Early 90s.
Yeah. But I mean, it did. I was like, holy, it smells like a homeless person. What that happened here? You know, so when did you first go to New York and what was your very first impression? Like, what was the first thing?
So I remember I moved July 3rd, 2007. And I get there. I had gotten an apartment over like near Lincoln Center on the Upper West Side. Right. A lot of like, it's like near Juilliard. So like a lot of like musicians and like musical students and artists, students lived there. And it was just, you know, I was just like this little Southern girl, like wide eyed and, you know, but I do remember the first night, I don't know how we came across it. Like, I don't know, my roommate got an invite or something. But we went to a rooftop bar, which I still think has one of the best views in New York. But it is, as a New Yorker now, like, is so, like, what we call bridge and tunnel. Like there's a certain, like, think very, like, fist pump, like, Jersey style. And
I know what that means. I'm not yes. Italian, but I know what that means.
So no offense to any. And I live on Long Island now, so I'm technically B&T also.
Studio
now,
54, Coyote Ugly, yeah.
I love it. Yeah, so,
but we went there, and I just remember, it's called 235th.
Right.
It's in the Flatiron District, and it's this like rooftop bar with like this scene, but it has like one of the most, like the Empire State Building is like right there.
Right.
And I just remember standing there and like taking in that moment and just being like, oh my gosh, like this is like where I live now. This is like my dream. And
I'm here.
You know, I didn't have hardly any money in the bank. I didn't know.
She's like, this is my dream.
Yeah, she's like,
I don't know. I've never.
It sounds like a cliche, and it's definitely like one of, you know, it's like.
I know, but it's the best. Right? I love it.
YA novel, you know, it's like definitely like a formula for a teenage
novel. That's the best. Oh my God, that's the best. Well, okay, so we're so over time. Brittany, you were a dream. I loved having you on the show. Thank you so much for being on
this
Behind the
so
Veil.
This was so fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Didn't I tell you? Right? It's you know, we make it super easy for our guests and we just have a good time talking to people. I mean, you know, not like, yeah, we're not shy. All right. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in for another Behind the Veil. I just looking up our, like, who is with us next week, but of course I don't have it on me, but join us next week, Tuesday at 2:00 right here. Join us also on our podcast, which is on iTunes or Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio. Thank you, iHeartRadio.
It's Nora Shields.
Oh, Nora Shields. So next week we have Nora Shields. Yes. So tune in. It's going to be a great episode. But for the moment, everybody say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brittany, hold on for 1 second, okay?